Hi, welcome to Cochrane Alliance Church and our online sermons. We are so glad you are able to join us. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this week.
Good morning. How are we all doing this morning? Good. That's what I like to hear. I have some wonderful friends up here who I will introduce to you in just a few moments. We're going to have the opportunity to hear their story, and we're so honored that you are here with us today. We've been exploring the fruit of the Spirit the last few weeks. Pastor Brent started us off by talking about love, and last week Pastor Jason taught on joy and peace. And today we are looking at the fruit of goodness and faithfulness. And to be honest, I could probably walk off this stage and not preach because we've already seen so many examples of goodness and faithfulness already this morning. Ada, thank you for sharing your story. That was a beautiful testament to God's goodness and faithfulness. To our youth missions team as well, what a beautiful thing that you are going to bless our friends in Guatemala. You've shown us what God's goodness and faithfulness looks like as well. When I think about goodness, one of my favorite quotes comes to mind. The longer I live on the planet, the more I understand why roosters start the day screaming. And I don't know if you feel like that sometimes. Any of you young parrots might recognize Hey Hey the Rooster from Moana there. But do you ever feel like that? You wake up in the morning with all the badness, all the things happening in the world, you just feel like starting the day screaming. And there seems to be so much badness in our world, doesn't there? Some days we just want to wake up and scream. I think there's a deep desire in each of us to find hope in the middle of despair, to find goodness in the midst of the overwhelming badness. And in Galatians 5, Paul describes this goodness that I believe that we're all searching for. And this word for goodness has two different parts. It means righteousness or moral uprightness, but it also means generosity. And we see these two aspects of goodness clearly in the life of Jesus. He was righteous and morally upright, and he was also generous. There's a great example of Jesus' true goodness compared to the false goodness of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12. It says, going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, and they being the Pharisees and the religious leaders, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is good and lawful to do what is good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. In this story, we see the contrast between two different kinds of goodness. We see the Pharisees' goodness, which we could probably put some air quotes around, and then we see Jesus' goodness. The Pharisees thought that they were good. In fact, they dedicated their whole life to being good. It was kind of their thing. But this story starts with them seeking to accuse Jesus, not very good, and it ends with them plotting to kill Jesus, really not very good. So how did this go so wrong? How did their desire for goodness end up in false accusations and plotting a murder? Well, the Pharisees' goodness was completely focused on that first definition of goodness, righteousness. But Jesus' goodness was both righteousness and generosity. See, the central problem with the Pharisees' goodness was that it was inherently selfish. The goodness was all about me. I want to be good, so I will follow the law, and I will show how good I am. Other people don't follow the law, but I do. Me, me, me. It was all about their own image. Their goodness was meant to be seen. Jesus rebukes them later on this in Matthew chapter 22. He says, you clean the outside of the bowl, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You care so much for the outside of the bowl, your image, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. Your goodness is all about you and how good you look to others. But Jesus' goodness is all about others. It's not about himself. It's not about his own image. His goodness is one of generosity. His goodness is one that gives freely to others. His goodness is not just about being good or looking good, but it's about doing good. The Pharisees' goodness led to isolating from others that they saw as unclean, sinful, broken, or different. They stayed away from those that would make them unclean. They couldn't be bothered to go out of their way to help someone if they weren't the right kind of people. But Jesus' goodness led to him pursuing those who were unclean, broken, sinful, or different. It was probably the biggest complaint that the Pharisees had with Jesus. This man eats with sinners. Do you see who he surrounds himself with? We would never associate with such unrighteous company. But Jesus' goodness was one of action, one of generosity. He sought out those who needed to be touched by goodness. He wasn't focused on his own image. In fact, he really didn't care what other people thought of him. He was too busy looking for those who needed a touch of goodness in their lives. Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. His mission was to do good, to undo the work of evil in the world. And to do that, he didn't stay away from the messy, the sinful, the broken. He sought them out. He gave his goodness freely. I think when we look at a story like this and compare the Pharisees to Jesus, there's a temptation to laugh at how terrible the Pharisees are, to point out how ridiculous their words and actions are, and how we would never be like that. But I think sometimes we're more similar to the Pharisees than we would like to admit. Often our desire to be good has more to do with looking good, appearing good before others, than it does actively doing good for others. Often our desire for goodness isolates us from the hurting, the broken, the difficult, the different, rather than leading us to bring the goodness of God to those who are in the midst of pain and darkness. And it all comes down to how we see other people. Jesus highlights this in our story. He says, "How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do what is good on the Sabbath." Jesus saw people as valuable. He saw deep, inherent value in them. A number of years ago, I took a leadership class at Briarcrest University in Saskatchewan, and I remember the professor asked a fascinating question that stuck with me ever since. He said, "Does your understanding of humanity start in Genesis 3 or in Genesis 1? And what he meant by this is he said, "Do you primarily see people as broken and sinful people?" Genesis 3 talks about the fall of humanity and the introduction of sin. "Or do we see people primarily as valuable people created in the image of God?" Genesis 1 speaks about all of us being made in the image of God. He went on to talk about how this is a foundational question for followers of Jesus. If we see people from a foundation of sin and brokenness, how does that change the way that we treat them? How does that change our approach towards people? If we see people as made in the image of God, how does that change the way that we treat them? How does that change our approach toward people? And it's not just one or the other. Both are true. We are made in the image of God, Genesis 1. And we have all sinned and have been affected by sin and brokenness in our world, Genesis 3. But where we start matters. Jesus started with seeing people as inherently valued, made in the image of God. He was also very aware of the reality of sin, hurt, and pain in others. But this reality did not change the value of people. It didn't change their significance in his eyes. If anything, it is what motivated him to give his goodness so generously. His generous goodness redeemed and restored people to live in the goodness that they were always intended to. It can be so easy to see people through the lens of sin and brokenness instead of through the lens of value and the image of God. Each interaction that we have is an opportunity, a choice to see the other as valuable or to see them by their sin and their shortfalls. I can see you as different, or I can see you as valuable, created in the image of God. I can see you as a political or ideological enemy, or I can see you as valuable, created in the image of God. I can see you by your past mistakes and failures, or I can see you as valuable, created in the image of God. And it's not an ignoring of sin or hurt or pain or brokenness. It's a declaration that those things do not diminish or distort your value as one who is made in the image of God. And so often the best way to start seeing someone or a group of people as made in the image of God is to take time to listen first, to listen to their story, and to look for the evidence of the goodness of God in their life. When we listen, instead of seeing someone by their faults or their failures, we show others that they are valued and loved by Jesus. And so I wanted to highlight a really great opportunity for us as a church family to listen to the stories of others and to look for the goodness of God in the lives of others that he has placed around us. Both Brent and Jason highlighted this over the last 2 weeks, but we have something called the Alongside Conference coming up on March 22nd. Our registration opens on February 23rd, but we keep mentioning it because it keeps fitting in with what we're doing in our teaching. And this conference is all about walking alongside different groups of people in our communities. And that walking alongside starts with listening to others' stories. And so there will be sessions on walking alongside the elderly and those in long-term care, sessions on walking alongside those in the LGBTQ community, walking alongside those in Generation Z or Generation Alpha, our younger people, walking alongside those who are marginalized, walking alongside those who are wrestling with mental health, and walking alongside those in our indigenous communities. And my friends here today, Jennifer Singh and Alvin and Liz Big Crow, will be leading the session on walking alongside those in the indigenous community. And we're really blessed and honored to have them here today to talk about how they have seen the goodness and faithfulness of God in the Tsuut'ina Nation, which is southwest of Calgary, between Calgary and Bright Creek. I'll do a little intro, and I know that Jen will also do a little introduction as well. But Alvin and Liz Big Crow are elders on the nation and faithful members of St. Barnabas Church on the Tsuut'ina Nation. They have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and even a great-great-grandchild. That's a pretty amazing legacy, isn't it? I've only known Alvin and Liz for a short time, but I've already been so blessed by them. Liz reached out to let us know that she was praying for our youngest daughter when she was in the hospital recently, and I've started to see just a small glimpse of how Alvin and Liz's goodness and faithfulness has blessed so many people. And Jen is a professor of intercultural studies at Ambrose University, and she pastors the St. Barnabas Church on the Tsuut'ina Nation. She's lived overseas in Cambodia, Ethiopia, and Uganda, working with vulnerable women, and she is known by my daughters as Auntie Jen. Would you please join me in warmly welcoming Jen, Alvin, and Liz to Cochrane Alliance today. And we wanted to thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with us. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, good morning, or as we say in Tsuut'ina, Guja na Gudagoy. My name is Jennifer Singh, and I have had the utmost privilege of pastoring the good people of St. Barnabas Church on the Tsuut'ina Nation for the past 5 years. I bring greetings from our entire congregation, and thank you for the opportunity to worship with you this morning. Can I just say we're really happy to be in your church building this morning, because our church building, we can't get it warm this morning. And so we'd be sitting there in our parkas and freezing. And we don't have nice bathroom facilities like you. We have a porta potty. And trying to use a porta potty in this weather, I'll leave it to your imagination. So just to say, we are extremely glad to be with you this morning. Now, our church has been a part of the Tsuut'ina Nation for over 100 years, and it has been a sacred space and spiritual home for many families in our community over several generations. When you walk into our church building, located on Old Agency Road in Tsuut'ina, and as Phil said, for those of you that may not be familiar with the Tsuut'ina Nation, we are located on Treaty 7 in the southwest of Calgary. When you walk into our church building, the first thing that will capture your attention is the history that just seems to seep out of all of the colorful stained glass windows we have, the ancient wooden pews, and the plaques on the wall cataloging the lives of those who have faithfully contributed to the community. Everything about this over 100-year-old building tells a story. A story of God's goodness and faithfulness. As we've just heard from Pastor Phil, God's goodness is exemplified in the life of Jesus, a life that was wholly focused on practically demonstrating love for all sorts of people. It was outward focused, never inward, never ego-seeking. Goodness for Jesus focused him on the people around him and made him the perfect role model of what it means to be other-centered, placing the needs of those above himself. Jesus' goodness was intimately tied to his relationship with his heavenly Father. And what made Jesus the model human of goodness was his faithful connection with the one that we come from, a creator, the one we call our Father who art in heaven. Jesus was never afraid to respond to the call of his heavenly Father, "Stretch out your hand," similar to the crippled man we just heard about. Jesus constantly extended his hand and received from the glorious riches of his Father over and over again. And it was out of this abundance that Jesus was able to give so freely to all of those that he encountered in his earthly life. Friends, faithfulness is responding to the call, "Stretch out your hand," and being open to what God might want to do in your life and through your life. It is a call that comes to us daily, even hourly. And the question is, how will we respond? When I walk into our church every week and see the plaques on the walls detailing the names of those who were outward and other-centered, always putting the needs of our community first, I am reminded of the legacy of faith that so many have left for us to follow. I think of people like the late Reverend Mervyn Wolfleg, the only Indigenous minister to ever serve at our church, and how he tirelessly served the people of the Tsuut'ina Nation for many years with his whole heart, even relocating his family from the Siksika First Nation to Tsuut'ina. Reverend Wolfleg knew the scriptures and knew the people he was ministering to and always sought to share the message of Jesus in a way that would speak to the hearts of the people in Tsuut'ina. I think of Elder Russell Big Crow, the father of my dear Elder Alvin, who faithfully prayed in every service he attended over many, many years, right up until he was unable to walk anymore. I think of one of our elders fondly remembered as Grandma Katie, who lived to be over 100 years old and always liked to remind people to ask the Holy Spirit where God was leading them every day. I think of Elder Jean Dodginghorse, whose unwavering trust in Jesus as her Lord was an example to many. Reverend Wolfleg, Elder Russell, Grandma Katie, Elder Jean, these are just a few of the many, many people in our community who answered the call to stretch out your hand and have become role models and beloved examples of what faithfulness looks like to the people of the Tsuut'ina Nation. All of these dear elders had a profound knowledge of our Creator's goodness, and they lived to faithfully incarnate that story and to tell it over and over again. This is the story that I was invited into 5 years ago, this story of God's goodness and faithfulness when I came to the Tsuut'ina Nation 5 years ago. For me at that time, God's goodness and faithfulness had become truths for other people, but not really for me anymore. I had lost my mom quite tragically a few years prior, and I was still mired in the fog of grief. My mom had been my rock, my anchor, my person throughout my entire life. And as I lived and traveled internationally for many years, my mom was home for me in every sense of that word. When she died, my sense of self, my sense of purpose, and my sense of home evaporated. Instead of responding to the call of "stretch out your hand" with eager anticipation and excitement, my hands had slowly been retracting and curling up into little balls, bracing for whatever tragedy might come next. There's nothing like the death of a loved one, your person, so to speak, that can cause you to question God's goodness and faithfulness. I was existing, but I am not sure I was really living at that time. I longed for a place that I could call home. This is when the people of St. Barnabas Church stretched out their hands to me and invited me to be their pastor. And what an invitation this has been. I arrived in Sutina thinking I was going there to give, to serve, to be a light for Jesus. But I quickly realized that in order to establish mutually respectful relationships, which is one of the main emphases of the final report of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, I would actually have to learn how to receive. I had spent most of my life up to that point working in communities around the world where I was the one doing the helping. When I came to Sutina, I realized just how much the words of Psalm 43 rung true for me. Hear the word of the Lord. Why must I go about mourning? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of my God, to God my joy and my delight. The fog of my grief had blinded me to God's goodness and faithfulness, but in his mercy, he sent me his light, and he sent me his faithful care. And this began to lead me out of this anguishing darkness that I had been in for over 4 years. His light and his faithful care were incarnated to me through the people of St. Barnabas Church, particularly our elders. As we began to do life together, I began to see, hear, touch, and feel God's goodness and faithfulness again. Through all the meals we enjoyed, the hugs we exchanged, the tears we cried together when we lost loved ones, the birthdays and births we celebrated, and the belly laughs that we routinely shared. Laughter is good and healing medicine, and the humor of my new friends was a balm for my sad soul. The elders of our church often refer to me not only as their pastor or minister, but also as their daughter. After losing my mom and thinking I would never really be a daughter again, it has been profoundly healing to be surrounded by my elders who have stretched out their hands and brought me into their beautiful families as a cherished member. Psalm 43 says, "Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight." Friends, sometimes we need people to gently lead us back to God's holy mountain, the place where we remember that the creator of the entire universe brought us into this world out of love, made us in his image and likeness, and for a purpose. Sometimes we need to be led to places where God is dwelling because that is where a sense of belonging and home can be found again. Our God dwells on the Sutina First Nation, and I was led there by his kind and providential hand. God faithfully stretched out his hand toward me when I was crippled by my grief, and he sent me his light and his faithful care to lead me back to him and to a place that I could call home. I'm beyond privileged now to introduce two people to you that have represented God's light and God's faithful care to me this morning. Elders Alvin and Liz Bigcrow are members of the Sutina First Nation and the St. Barnabas Church community. I also refer to them as my parents. Elder Alvin has been a great sort of light to me on my journey, leading me with his knowledge, his wisdom, his kindness, and his wicked sense of humor. Elder Liz has been a model of God's faithful care to me as a mama bear, always willing to lend a listening ear, always ready with an encouraging word, and always ready to protect you against whatever harm may be coming your way. God's light and God's faithful care stretched out their hands to me through the lives of elders like Alvin and Liz Bigcrow, and I truly do not know where I would be today without them. I would now like to welcome them up to share a bit of their reflections on God's goodness and faithfulness in their lives and in our community. Please come.
Good morning, everybody. I want to thank Phil for inviting us here to speak with you. I'm not really used to just speaking in public, but today it's an honor to be here. And my journey has been not smooth. When I started, I was in darkness for a long time, blinded by alcohol. 1989, I did a three-day walk with the Creator, God. Ever since then, He dusted me off, lifted me up, and put me on the red road to the Creator. And I've been on that road ever since. It's been a really good journey with one. I've been with my wife since 1969. We've been together that long. And we have five kids and about 30 grandchildren, who she knows every one of them's birthday. So that the St. Barnabas Church, we had no minister for many years, and the Creator, He sent us Jen Singh. Then she brought a lot of joy and music to our church, brought it to life. Every Sunday before church, before we start, I do the elders' prayer. First we smudge before the service, and get going before that, and I say the opening prayer. We became a church family. We started a prayer group where we would gather at Bullhead Hall in prayer for everyone who needs prayers or going through a difficult time. We invite all denominations to attend. We sit in a circle and pray for all the prayer requests and share food together. We have been invited to a lot of places to pray and share our stories. With my wife Elizabeth shared about her time in residential school, where she spent 12 years. We tried to do our part of reconciliation to let people know the truth. We lost a lot of people before Christmas, so we organized a day of prayer for our nation. All through St. Barnabas Church, we invited George Canyon, and he came and sang some gospel songs for the community. And he also prayed for the nation. We all sat and had lunch together. We went to Red Deer to pray for 500 pastors, and we also shared the stories. Since Jen's arrival at our church, we have been on a beautiful journey together through the church. We have met a lot of amazing people. On Sunday, we had church outside, and we had a moose come to join us that day. That's right, you saw the picture on there. We even went to a gospel festival in Tahltan Nation in BC. That's where you see that church, that old church. That's way up in Geese Lake, close to the border. We even saw an old church that's on Telegraph Creek. We also have music. A lot of these musicians play awesome gospel music, brings our church to life. So it's been a wonderful journey with Jen since she arrived and showed us how to pray, taught us a lot of things that we didn't know before. So with that, I want to thank you all for listening, and here's my wife will too.
Good morning, everyone. I'm honored to be here. My name is Elizabeth Bigcrow, and I think Alvin said it all, what I was going to say. um, I was born and raised on the Blackfoot Reserve near Glacian on the Siksika Nation. And then I was in residential school for 12 years, 1955 to 67. And that's where mostly I was brought up there. And I try not to dwell in the past of that, what experience I went through. But when I met my husband, I did change. And we got married in 1971. And we started having children. I have 5 children, but we lost one 10 years ago. And I have 18 grandchildren, 20 great-great, and 1 great-great-grandchild that we're blessed with. We sort of wandered off from church during that time. But in 1989, we did the 3-day walk with our Lord. And that kind of brought us back to going to church. And then I had my kids confirmed and baptized and confirmed. And they would come with me sometimes, but like I said, we kind of wandered away from church until, I say, the last 15 years. And they brought Jen to us, and that's when we really, really had to do, you know, what God expected us or wants us to do. The Creator really helped me through all these things we went through, what I went through residential school, and losing my son-in-law, and I just about lost my daughter in May, and that really brought us to, especially now with meeting all these pastors that Jen introduced us. Now we're glad to say that's our church family. And with Jen coming around and 5 years ago, that really changed our lives and what she went through. So we adopted her into our family. And I'm glad she's with us, you know, and she comes to my house and my children bug her all the time and tease her. And she's always calling her the other kind of Indian. Even though she's always on Indian time, she's... And my children always remind me that I'm a residential school survivor and also a cancer survivor. I survived cancer 10 years ago, and that's what brought me back to church and praying. I just want to thank Phil and Jen for inviting us. We were nervous all week thinking about it, but then I said, well, we have to go. And I didn't write up anything, but like I said, Alvin said it all. So with that, thank you, and God bless you. Love you all.
Thank you so much. Beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for sharing today. We are blessed by your presence here with us today. I'd like to call the worship team up. That was a very, very small glimpse into their lives and what's happening on the Sutina Nation. And so I'd encourage you to come to our Alongside Conference, where they'll have a breakout session where there'll be a full hour for them to share even more. And you can ask questions and hear more about what God is doing in their lives and on the nation. These last few weeks, we've talked about what might hinder the fruit of the Spirit and how we can cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And honestly, we don't have a whole lot of practical to say on that today, other than that we are called to see people in the image of God. And if I can give one practical thing, I would just say this. Would you pray for our friends at St. Barnabas Church this week and in the days to come? These are not just guest speakers that we'll never see again. We're excited for our church to be friends with St. Barnabas Church, and we don't exactly know what exactly that means, but we do know that it will involve presence. And so you might see Jen and Alvin and Liz around here occasionally at some of our events. There'll be some opportunities for some of us to go out to the nation, to the St. Barnabas Church, or to help out with things, and we're just excited to join this journey of growing and learning from one another. And I'll put a little plug in. If you are someone who is very handy, that 115-year-old church could definitely need some repairs. And so there'll be some opportunities coming up when it's not this cold to be able to help out there as well. If you're interested in that, just come and talk to me. So why don't we do exactly that? Why don't we pray for our friends at St. Barnabas Church on the Soutina Nation? So would you stand with me as we pray and thank God for his goodness in their lives and your goodness here today. Father, we come to you. We thank you so much for your goodness and faithfulness. We've just heard so many stories of your goodness and faithfulness. And so we thank you for your goodness over the years at St. Barnabas Church on the Soutina Nation. And we thank you for, like Jen said, the faithful people of the past who've laid a beautiful foundation. And we pray for the future. We pray that your goodness and faithfulness will continue to reign on the Soutina Nation. And we thank you so much for Jen, for Alvin, and for Liz, for how they are extensions of your goodness and faithfulness wherever they go. Would you bless them today and fill them up today? And for us, God, would we see others as made in the image of God? So easy to see others through their sin or their shortfalls. But you call us to see others as valuable, created in the image of God. May we be people who live in that way. We pray these things in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.